What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 359, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that gives you a little, or gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
I'm not freaked out, but I forgot about something that we talked about before the show. Actually, we talked about it this afternoon. By the way, I'm good. I'm great. we're streaming live on YouTube like usual, right?
Yes. Yes.
We are. We had talked a couple weeks ago. We're like, hey, let's look at streaming on Twitch. And so I brought it up to you today, and I already have like all my browsers set for the stream later on. One of those windows is the dashboard, the live dashboard for Twitch.
Yes.
And so I looked up and it shows excellent and live. And I was like, oh, did I hit something? Like, what's going on here? That's because we're streaming on Twitch now too. So yeah, yes,
we are. We're streaming on Twitch for the first time for the podcast. We usually stream on Twitch after the podcast for our gaming stream. So yeah. So I think, I mean, Twitch is working. I assume Twitch is working.
Yeah, it shows excellent. We're good. So
yeah. So welcome everybody from Twitch. We have Wheeling Crypto Coffee in the live stream. Good to see you here as well. For everybody who is going to be new coming over from Twitch, we do a weekly podcast talking about everything that's going on in the PC hardware and gaming world. We talk about reviews we've done on the website and just kind of, you know, all kinds of fun tech things. We also have a full show notes page. So if you did want to follow along, you can go ahead and do that. It's going to have everything that we're going to be talking about this week, all of the reviews, all of the articles, everything like that. And that should be linked in the show notes, or it should be linked in the on the video that you're watching, or in whatever podcasting app that you use if you're listening to the audio, if you want to follow through with that. So we'll have all of that. But I think the big thing this week, as I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen all the reviews today, is NVIDIA's RTX 4070. That launched officially today with reference models. And then tomorrow, there'll be non-reference overclock cards should be announced tomorrow, or should be, you know, the reviews can go out tomorrow and you'll be able to buy the card tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, not just reference cards, but locked in MSRP pricing on the items that were like reviewed today, right?
Yes.
$600 price point, not only for that Founders Edition, but for all of the card reviews that you may have seen today. Those are the ones that, you know, NVIDIA said, hey, you guys have to create a card that's available to consumers for the same MSRP. So
yeah. So
which I think it's great.
Yeah, I think the big thing with the 4070 was that NVIDIA wanted all the card manufacturers to have an MSRP card, which is going to run at the default clock speed, same as the Founders Edition, but it can have, you know, the company's aftermarket cooler on there and everything like that, but it's just not going to be overclocked. And again, it locks it in at that $599 price point. So we've been talking about that price point for a while. And obviously we'll get into performance, but how do you feel about that $599 price point?
I've gone back and forth a few times on it. And like, I mean, even this morning when I was looking at all the graphs, you know, looked over your reviews and a couple others, and I'll save my like idea later, but I think, I don't know, it's such a tough price point mostly because of the 4080 4070 Ti fiasco that we had, right? Like,
yeah,
I feel like that just kind of screwed things up, and so now we've got to eat this $600 price point. If this was a $500 card instead of a $600 card, like, my opinion would be totally different, and I think this would be an amazing card. I think $600, if you are someone like me on a 20 series looking to upgrade, I think this card probably makes sense, right? For someone that wants a mid-range card. But if you're on a 30 series, it's going to be tough to like justify that price point, in my opinion. So
yeah. Well, let's go over the specs, which I'm bringing up here on my phone. So this is, of course, the fourth graphics card in NVIDIA's RTX 40 series. Of course, we launched with the RTX 4090. Then we have the 4080. Then we have the 4070 Ti, and now we have the 4070. So this is based off the 4-nanometer AD104. It's going to have a total of 46 streaming multiprocessors, giving you a total of 5,888 CUDA cores, 184 fourth-generation Tensor cores, 46 third-generation RT cores, 12 gigabytes of GDDR6X across a 192-bit memory interface. Total memory bandwidth is 504 gigabytes a second. Base clock, 1,920 megahertz. Boost clock, 2,475 megahertz. TGP of 200 watts. And then NVIDIA suggests at least a 650-watt power supply for this. And then just the normal connectors like you would see on all graphics cards these days. Three DisplayPort 1.4a and a single HDMI 2.1. So that's kind of like the specs, you know, overall specs of the card. Before we get into the cards that I actually have sitting here on my desk, let's talk about performance, because I think we're at least getting a little bit more for our little bit more value, I would say, for our money, especially when you compare it to the 4070 Ti. I think that's where we see a lot of value. So let me bring up some of our graphs. We also have a full video on our YouTube channel going over all of this stuff, going over everything. If you would, you know, if you really want an in-depth look at everything, we have a video on our YouTube channel. But let's look at some graphs here, at least at like kind of like the overall FPS that you're kind of going to get on these. So, you know, if we look here, especially compared to a previous generation card, like an RTX 3080, right? That was essentially the performance level that you're getting here, right? So at 1080p, you're going to get, at least in my testing, I tested 7 games, around 150, 152 FPS. That's without any of the NVIDIA features, without ray tracing, without DLSS, just plain, you know, nothing turned on, you're going to get around 150, 152 FPS. Obviously, in certain titles, like esports titles and things like that, you'll get a lot higher frame rate. But that's kind of the average for like a AAA title with everything completely maxed out. And if we look at 1440p, again, you're at like 107, 110. And again, this is without anything turned on, right? You can turn on DLSS and get even much, much higher frame rate than that. So with that just base level of performance, you're getting about the same performance as an RTX 4080. And honestly, RTX 3080. And honestly, I think that's what you want, right? You want the card that's a tier lower to perform at the previous higher tier cards performance
or better.
And I think we're right at that performance with this, without any of the extra features turned on, of course. And I think that, one, I'm happy to see that, but also I am pretty happy to see that, again, the $599 price point is only $100 more than what the 3070 launched at. So the 3070 was that $500 card that you were talking about. This card's $100 more. And again, the 3070 launched pre-COVID, I believe.
Yeah.
So, you know, with the inflation, you know, all the things coming to price.
But at the same time, I don't know. You talk about that price point and like beating the previous like generations card above it, so like a 3070 would beat a 2080, right? So then we would expect this 4070 to beat the 3080, but we had that performance without the $100 price increase that we have now in the 40 series, right? Yeah, we're still getting that jump, but and then obviously we haven't even factored in DLSS, right, and the improvements from one generation to the next and those sorts of things. So
The reason I like this card at this price compared to, say, obviously the 4070 Ti or even the 4080 costs $500 more than what the 3080 launched at. So we're only getting a $100 price difference now instead of like, you know, so I think at least for the price, I'm sort of okay with it. But it's, like you said, I mean, NVIDIA kind of really, really has, I wouldn't say screwed gamers, but I mean, the prices have just kind of got a little crazy, I would say. Especially considering, again, this is a 70 class card. We're kind of used to that 70 class card being, you know, around that $500 price point. So we're at $600. I do feel that at that price point, you're getting more of a value, again, than what you got from specifically the 4070 Ti. That card is just a mess. We compared it to the 4070 Ti. What did I say? It's 13, the 4070 Ti is 13% faster at 1080p and 19% faster at 1440p, but it's 28% more expensive. And that's just for a founder's or, you know, like a MSRP card, which there aren't a ton of those even out there. And I think the 4070 Ti is just kind of dead at this point.
Yeah, it feels like a weird place to be to spend that extra $200 for the.
And that's the thing with this card too, is the weird thing with this card is that there's a $200 difference between the normal model and the Ti model, right? That's a big gap. And typically with a Ti card, NVIDIA fills in a gap, right? So NVIDIA launches a set of cards and then there's like a $100 gap. And in that $100 gap, AMD puts a card in that performs between the two for, you know, that whatever the price is in between that gap. And now you have a $200 gap between cards that, like, what are you going to launch in between that, NVIDIA? Are you going to do a Supers again? Like,
right.
You know, but it also makes you really think about NVIDIA too, as far as, I mean, they really tried to screw us with that 4080 12 gig.
Yeah, I mean, try to slip it under the rug, and that just...
Well, the thing is, too, is not only did they try to call it a 4080 12 gig, they also tried to launch it for $899.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that just puts such a bad taste in your mouth as a gamer, as an enthusiast, you know what I mean?
Right.
But like I said, I think that this card... for its price is a much better value. I think they're giving, maybe that's why you have that $200, you know, because if you think about it, if this was supposed to be the actual 4070,
and the 4080,
no, the 40, if this was supposed to be the 4070, right?
Right. Okay.
It wasn't supposed to be something else. Would you think they would have launched it for more if there wasn't such a backlash on that price? Because $200 is a big, and again, it would have been actually $300 difference if they would have launched the. So you have to wonder if they brought this price down considerably, considering everything that's gone on. But beyond that, you know, just the, as far as the technology goes, DLSS 3.0 is huge for NVIDIA this generation. You know, in our testing, we're able to, you know, run a game at 4K. It runs with every, you know, this is a 3D Mark DLSS 3.0. Bless you, by the way.
Thanks.
I saw that.
I muted it. Hopefully.
Yeah, that's good.
Everybody knows.
The 3D Mark DLSS 3.0 feature test, and it renders a scene, and it does it at 4K. And it rendered that scene at about 20 FPS without DLSS turned on at all. We enabled DLSS 3.0 and it renders that scene at over 80 FPS. So that's nice. What DLSS 3.0 can do. I said, you know, this is definitely a 1440p card, right? This card is designed for 1440p, but if your title does support DLSS 3.0, you can definitely make that leap from a 1440p card to a 4K card, and you know, you can definitely do that, or you can, you know, game at a higher frame rate at that 1440p or even 1080p if you wanted to. And DLSS 3.0 has been adopted a lot faster than DLSS 2.0, so that's something to keep in mind with that card. I think this will be a very sought after card just because it's not as expensive. You're getting really good performance. And again, you're getting all the tech that's in the 40 series, right? You know, things like DLSS 3.0 and the third generation RT cores and all that kind of stuff. You know, DLSS 3.0 is only in 40 series cards, and a lot of people don't want to spend, you know, for a 4090 or a 4080. This is kind of that middle ground card, I think, for a lot of people. So I'm okay with the price. It is still, like I said, I think you're right in saying that $500 would be the really, really sweet spot for this card. But we got to take a look at two cards at launch. These are the MSRP cards. I'll go ahead and show you guys these because I think they're both pretty cool. So this one is from Zotac. This is their Trinity card. And again, the reference clock speeds and everything like that. This one has, put it this way, this one has a really kind of big, thick, chunky heatsink. Zotac really changed things around with their 40 series cards. You can see it's like very curved edges, circular type of card, which I think, I don't know, some people will like
it,
some people
hate it. You look like you don't like it. I like it. I think it looks good.
It does look good. I would say it does look good. Another thing to point out about this is that there is like a Zotac gaming logo right here. And that is actually going to light up with RGB lighting, which is really nice. And then you do get a full cover backplate here. And this is a metal backplate. This is about 2.5 slot card. So the shroud kind of goes over that second slot. So just keep that in mind. But that's a Trinity card. Like I said, pretty, pretty nice.
And it uses the new power connection, correct?
Yes, it does. If I can,
because the MSI uses the older 8-pin.
Yeah. So
cool.
Yeah. So we go to the MSI card, and this is their Ventus 3X. This is again their entry point into the RTX 4070. Again, like I said, since it's an MSRP card, it is stock clocks. Now, the thing that I really do like about this card is that it's completely two slot. This is not a big card. This is small card, small, thin. Like
it's like, what generation card is that? Right? Like what GeForce or in, you know, GTX is that? No, it's a thinner card.
But I think a lot of people would like this because so many people don't want RGB lighting. They don't need any of that stuff. They also might have a size constraint because again, with the 40 series, we really, really went big time with those big, you know, chunky heat sinks and all that. This has a small heat sink, and it's not like that this thing overheats or anything like that. True two slot. And the interesting thing about it is that it does have the old school, as we call it now, 8-pin PCI Express power connector on there. So this doesn't come with an adapter. The Zotac card does come with an adapter.
Did you say anything about the backplate?
Oh, yeah. So the backplate, it is not metal. It's the graphene, which is their word for plastic that MSI uses for plastic. But I like both cards. I honestly think both cards are fine. They're the cooling systems. This card doesn't get all that warm, but the cooling systems are really good on both of these. They're quiet. They don't sound like they're going to take off or anything like that. You know what I mean? Also, I didn't mention, and we talked about comparing this card to the 3080. The thing that's really impressive about this is that both of these cards perform about the same as a 3080, but they do it at far less power draw. So,
yeah, this card was spec'd at, 200 watts? And from everything I've seen, like, that's about what most are running. You know, like, high 180s to 190s for the most part. Every now and then you'll see some jumps, like, above to, like, 220. But for the most part, everything is running around 200 watts, whereas previous gen cards were much higher than that.
Yeah. So like in our testing, the Zotac Trinity card, the board power during load was 181.5 watts, and the MSI card was 182.8. You know what I mean?
Right.
During full load. And so, yeah, I think that, like I said, I don't know. I'm kind of, again, I think that the 4070 Ti was such, like, again, a slap in the face to people. And I think that I feel better about this card. It's still not what we would like, right? The $500 card is what we would like, but I think that, again, this is only $100 more expensive than what the 3070 was, not the $500 more expensive that we saw before, right? Yeah. Or, you know, on the comparing the 3080 to the 4080. So I don't know. How do you, like, what is your take on, since you saw the reviews?
So the reviews kind of brought something back into light that I had kind of just, you know, brushed away and forgotten about. And that's the whole other option, well, true option in GPUs, which is AMD. And it really got me looking at the 7900 XT. And now, like, that's a big price jump, right? Like $600 to $900. But, like, the reference RX 7900 XT right now is $850.
Yeah, and sadly, in our testing...
You know what I mean? That competes way up there with, you know, higher end cards that cost so much more on the NVIDIA side of things. Because what always bugs me about, like, buying the mid-range series like I usually do, and we just talked about this, it's like, oh, the 4070 does what the 3080 was doing. And it's like, well, okay, so I'm buying a card that performance was available 2.5 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you buy the 4090, that performance was never available until now, right?
Yeah.
So if I do something like the 7900 XT, that performance was pretty much not available 2.5 years ago. So you always feel kind of bad, or at least I do have that kind of perspective, is like, oh yeah, I'm buying the 4070 and it does as well as the 3080. And it's like, well, I could have just had this performance all along.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, yeah, totally. And I think that, so like I said, in our testing, sadly, we didn't have any of the AMD cards to test, because I would have loved to see what I would love to see what those do, but see what they do compared to this card. And if you think, we have a story this week talking about it, but I believe the 7900 XT has 16 gigabytes of VRAM.
20.
Or it's 20. Okay.
Yeah, 20. GDDR6. Yeah. Yep. Now, it also is a lot more power hungry.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, like I said, I think for most people, and we should say this, is that you should really choose your graphics card based on the resolution that you're running.
Yes.
You know, there's no reason, unless you...
Resolution and frame rate you want
to... Yeah, I was going to say frame rate. So I was going to say, you're not getting a 4090 to play at 1080p unless you're doing, like, some crazy Counter-Strike.
You want 500 FPS.
Yeah. But I think, you know, the 4070 is a solid card for 1080p and 1440p. You know, and there's a lot of other features that we didn't even go over that are part of this card. It does have AV1 encode on it, and some other things, you know. I don't know. I like I said, I'm a fan. I would have been a bigger fan at $599. I think, Ryan, you made that point pretty well.
That at $499, you mean?
Yeah, $499, sorry.
But and the other thing to keep in mind is, like, everything that came out today is reference-based, right? Tomorrow we get to see the performance from, you know, what these companies do with, you know, advanced power conditioning, overclocking, bigger coolers at higher price points. But we can really see what the 4070 can do.
Yeah, and I think that I would hope, and we talked about this, I think, last week on the podcast, is that we would hope that these cards, these MSRP cards, are available in large quantities, right? Because this happened with the 4070 Ti, where the reference cards, there was like 10. And
I did see some, I'm trying to remember where it was or what, you know, if there was a manufacturer, but they said it was like 50% of their supply was going to be like MSRP product. So,
yeah. And then you have to think, so, like, we know the product line from MSI, we know the product line from Zotac, like, all these product lines are kind of set in stone unless they release a card that we've never heard of. So you know what comes after the Ventus as far as, like, going up in price point. Same with the Zotac card. You know, you have your amps and you have your
Trinity OC.
Yeah, you have all that kind of stuff. So, like I said, I like them, and it was actually fun. I didn't get to talk to you that much about this, but, like, we redid our test system for the graphics cards. We you know, I bought a bunch of new games. It's always fun to buy new games that you're never going to play just to use for benchmarks. Like we bought I bought a bunch of new games so that we could use them for benchmarks and things like that too. So it was a lot of fun testing and doing all that stuff. And like I said, it's always fun to check out new tech, because this is, we did get a 4090 and a 4070 or a 4090, 4080 and a 4070 Ti from MSI to test, but those were just to like run benchmarks and we had to send them back. So it was nice to really like get a lot of time with a new 40 series card and just see what it's all about and all that kind of stuff. So, so that was pretty cool. So check out both reviews. They are on the website. And like I said, we have a full video on the 4070 on our YouTube channel. So yeah, definitely go ahead and check that out. And we'll move over to Case Mod Friday. And of course, that's where we feature a build or mod. And this week we have that massive ROG Hyperion case. And this one's from Mark over at Declassified Systems. This is just I don't think you'll like, the pictures don't do it justice of how big this case is, right?
Oh, it's enormous. Yeah.
We saw this case in at CES this year, and it's a huge case. And I think Mark did a really good, I love the white builds. I have a white build, obviously.
White and red. You always,
yeah,
just really pop. And I always get like a medic theme.
Yeah. You
know? That's what pops into my head.
Yeah. It has the Corsair fans. Corsair Dominator memory. He does these really cool bends too that are like not what you would normally see.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even they're like, you might see straight bends like this, but the way he puts them at an angle,
yeah,
is just different than other people would, you know, place them.
That looks so cool.
It is neat.
Just the way the lines go together and all that kind of stuff. ROG power supply. Yeah. That's a nice one. This thing has to weigh a ton. How much do you think this thing weighs?
Oh, I don't know. Like close to 100 pounds.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Maybe not 100.
It's such a big case, like I said.
It was enormous. I did like it though. Like it you know.
I'm trying to remember. I think there's some of us who like love the big massive cases. So like this entire front part like isn't necessary, but it just makes the case the way that it is.
But those are functional handles and like runners, you know, on the bottom. It reminds me, like, it's another one of those big cases, like the Cooler Master Cosmos.
Yeah.
Right? That had those skis on the top and bottom. It's just, those oversized, powerful, just overwhelming cases.
Yeah. Like I said, I like this one a lot. And I, white builds are just so much fun.
That can get dirty so quick, though.
I know. So when I was testing graphics cards, obviously I had to test the 3090, and the 3090 was in my system. And it was a good thing that I had to take it out because, like, I cleaned all my fans, I cleaned everything else. You know, it was nice to clean things up there a little bit. I was running a 3060 in here for a while.
Just to get by, yeah.
Well, yeah, because the 3080 that I had, it takes three PCI Express power connectors, and I didn't want to have to rewire stuff and do all that. Yeah, so I ran the 3060, which I really didn't notice a difference because I really wasn't playing games or anything.
Right. Yeah. You know?
But yeah, check out this build from Mark over at Declassified Systems. Like I said, I really, really like this one. And of course, it has the frosted tubing, which is my favorite.
Yep.
Yeah, really good stuff.
That's good.
So check that one out. And of course, today is like the last day for you guys to
get. It's like less than 24 hours, I think, right? It's like 18 hours when I looked earlier.
It's at 30 hours.
Oh, 30. Okay.
Maybe because I'm in a different time zone than you?
No.
I don't know. But it's 30 hours left on our giveaway of the Lenovo Slim 7i Carbon laptop. Super easy to enter. All you have to do, there's a bunch of things that you can do to get your entry in, whether it's like subscribe to us on social media, subscribe to the podcast, email newsletter, all that kind of stuff. It's super, super easy to do. And the link for this, again, is in our show notes for the podcast. So get your entry in. If you still can't find the link for some reason, you just click on the contest link right here. And then it's right here. Boom. Super, super easy. So get your entry in for that. Yeah, excited to ship that out to whoever wins it. It'll be a Nice little, you know, it's like perfect for summertime, maybe going on a trip. You need a little, you need a laptop. Perfect.
Well, do everything you need.
Yeah, we'll move on to news. And we were talking about the RX 79 or the 7900 XT, but the XTX, two graphics cards were released in a week's time that are both all white RX 7900 XTXs. So if you're looking for like a white card to match your white build, these would be it. So the first one is the ASRock, their Tai Chi white. And I could be wrong, but I think this is like the first Tai Chi white card from them. I might be wrong. I could be wrong, but I just don't remember seeing the white Tai Chi card from them. But yeah, this thing looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, I like this.
Yeah.
I think the white and gold looks good. It looks kind of funny with RGB, right? Of like rainbow RGB sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think this looks sweet.
Yeah, this looks really, really good. So this was the first one that was launched.
I would have loved to see a white
PCB.
Well, white PCB and white fins like on the cooler, like just totally instead of blacked out, just white it out, you know?
Yeah, that would have been really, really cool.
Or gold, if they were gold heatsink fins.
Yeah.
Look pretty good.
Yeah. There's a lot of things, a lot of different things you could do with that. But yeah. So that's the ASRock one. And then Power Color announced their Hellhound RX 7900 XTX Spectral White. So this one,
Hellhound and an all white card just doesn't go together for me.
This one has the white PCB though.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to see, but
I would expect this to be like an all red card with the name Hellhound.
Yeah, but well, that's
this how, one that still looks good.
Yeah, this one looks like I said, it's again all white. It's definitely more white than the ASRock card, but I think I would, I don't know, which one would you pick if you?
I like the look of the ASRock card better.
Yeah, I like the look of the ASRock card, but again, the white PCB just makes all the difference, though.
Yeah, it does look pretty good.
Tough choices. Yeah, I think I'd take the ASRock card. But both of these have been announced. So if you're looking for an all-white card and you want to go that AMD route, you have two options for that now, which is pretty cool, actually. And then we were talking about, you know, you were talking about AMD cards, you know, and you, I mentioned like VRAM and how much VRAM certain cards have. AMD put out this massive blog post about VRAM. You know, the 4070 has 12 gigabytes. We expect that number to go down as we go down in the product stack, right? So,
right,
you know, 4060 could have 8, could have 10, 4050 could, the rumors that we heard could have 6 gigabytes of VRAM. So as you go down the product stack, you know, you could see a lot less VRAM. So, you know, they put out this graphic talking about some of the latest games, you know, Last of Us, Hogwarts Legacy, Resident Evil 4, at what resolution and, you know, what card they suggest from their series and, you know, the total memory. And they provide some pretty interesting graphs.
It's funny that on those recommended cards above, though, that you just had up, none of them were their 7000 series. They're all, they're like 6600, 6700.
Yeah, well, that's just like the, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That is interesting. But they provide some pretty interesting graphs showing performance difference going the 7900 XTX versus the 4080. And showing a ton of games, you know. And that's a 24 gigabyte VRAM card versus a 16 gigabyte VRAM card. And then they did the card that you were talking about, the 20 gig 7900 XT against the 12 gig 4070 Ti.
Yeah. You know? I mean, looks, you know, it's their graphs. So, of course, yeah, it's
their graphs. They have, they talk about everything and how, you know, everything, but if it's something to definitely look at if you're playing certain types of games, especially if you're turning on certain features, enables a lot more VRAM. So it's something to definitely keep in mind. But yeah, I mean, there's, like I said, it's worth checking out if, you know, you're going to be pushing a lot of VRAM with certain games, you know what I mean? And you want to play them at certain resolutions. I think going up to 4K really pushes VRAM for sure. We obviously saw that in our testing. So something to definitely keep in mind, but it's kind of interesting that AMD put that out right before the 4070 launch. So yeah. Talking about graphics cards, we talked about it last week. The ray tracing overdrive is now available in Cyberpunk. So if you do have a 40 series graphics card, you can enable that. This enables path tracing, which it seems like we're getting like a new tech all the right. time to show even better, you know, lighting and certain things, which I think is great, but it's just like, I don't know if these features are coming out just so people buy new graphics cards. Like, is this like an NVIDIA thing where they're like, okay, we have to put out a new tech that's only on this series of card, you know?
Yeah. Are any of these enhancements, you know, technically available to run on the 30 series, but they're just, you know, bringing it out and limiting it to the 40 series. I think it looks good.
Yeah.
The difference between these two is pretty, I don't know. I like the Psycho ray tracing look better.
Yeah. Right?
I don't know if overdrive is like, oh, it's overdrive lighting, so it's going to look, you know, more distorted.
I saw
like
a
that,
bunch of different cool. Screenshots and comparisons. A lot of people posted a bunch on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like the detail is so much better and things like that. But again, you need the hardware to push this. But I do feel that like Cyberpunk's a good game because it's a single player game, you know, that... you want the environment to look cool because you're kind of playing through a story.
Whereas, and you're like, not just rushing through it as an FPS, right? You're not just like all these great things just fly by you and you don't even notice them, right? It's slower paced a lot of times. And yeah.
Yeah. So it's available if you have Steam, obviously, it would just like update, but you can, you know, the game will update. And there's some other things they put in the new update as well. But yeah, pretty cool. And like I said, they put out a video too. It's like I said, it looks really cool. I don't play games like enough to where like I'm going to turn it on. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people don't necessarily turn those features on anyways, right?
Yeah. I mean, whether it's because they want to like keep a certain frame rate, right? They'd rather have the frame rate as opposed to the, you know, higher quality graphics. For me, that's always like that. You got to find that middle ground for an acceptable frame rate, especially if you don't have a variable refresh rate monitor, right? That can really kill your experience by just, you know, not having the performance. So you've got to, you know, drop some of those settings down so you can maintain a good frame rate. And I'm the same way though. Like I don't play any of these games, outside of, you know, running a benchmark or something. So I don't ever appreciate the quality and everything that we can get out of these new features, unfortunately. One day, right?
Yeah, you just get buy a 4090, you'll be good.
Well, or just find some time to actually sit down and play these games.
Yeah, that's the thing, we play Apex every week and so we're not really turning on certain features for that, but we'll move on from there to cases. We have two case launches this week. One is this Cougar Kratos, which is this crazy high-end case that looks cool. It's one of those sort of open air frame cases. I like the look of this. I wanted your take on this one.
The outer frame reminds me of the like Inwin, what was it, the D frame?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Right, with the piping and everything. It's neat. I don't know. I'm kind of past this look. I've just seen it so much. It's still a unique design, but it's kind of what Cougar's been doing the last couple of years with their cases.
Yeah, I agree. I do agree.
And Transformer motorcycle look, right?
I do have to think too, is like, yeah, we went through that phase of like tempered glass on everything. But I mean, is this really some air? Like this isn't some.
Well, I couldn't. I looked at the images and I couldn't really 100% tell if. Well, I guess that one shows a reflection at the bend. So yes, it is tempered glass.
Yeah, it's all tempered
glass. But you got a pretty big opening around it. It's kind of like my case, right? The Inwin 925. It's got huge tempered glass side panels and a solid, you know, front, top, bottom, and well, the back isn't solid, but it's got a lot of gaps in there for air, you know, to come into it. So it's better than just these sealed up glass boxes. But yeah, I think it would have been cool to see some sort of like super fine mesh over the fans in the front. But it's neat. That front light bar's interesting.
That's cool. You get a ton of USB in the front.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this one. This one's pretty cool from Cougar. And then we had the case that we saw at CES that came in the pizza box.
yeah.
So Inwin officially announced their foldable POC case, which I think they're pretty interesting. I think for like Ryan, you have kids, and I think that like this would be a cool experience for like something you could do with somebody who's like learning to build a PC or something like that. Like, I don't see myself doing this.
I mean, they showed it to us at CES. It's neat, and it's cool that it ships flat pack, right? Like they can ship it a lot cheaper. You put it together, the bends, you can bend it multiple times without the metal, you know, breaking down and snapping. So you can get your, you know, the shape of your build just right. I don't know. It's too gimmicky for me. I want Inwin to build their normal cases and everything. Some of them look cool. Like it don't get me wrong. I like the color schemes and everything, but it's just not my style.
Yeah, they're definitely cool.
I do like how on that bottom right one right there, the blue one, how they've like folded in some of the tabs and folded out so it gets some airflow going and you can kind of see in, right? That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I think these are cool. I think it's more of like a learning building experience for younger people. I think that's where this case kind of
maybe, but from. This is the only case you're going to fold up and build by yourself, right? Like that's not a true experience for actually like building a case in or building a PC in most cases, right? Like most of the time you're getting that PC case and it's put together.
Yeah.
So like this is just an extra step where you're like, Dad, am I gonna have to bend all my cases? You know, like am I gonna be working with raw materials to put this together? But yes, I agree. It'll be like a good learning experience, things like that. Just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, it's not my cup of tea either. But it's cool. It's called the POC from Inwin, so you guys can check that out. What else do we have this week? Oh, I thought these were super cool. So Seagate has a licensing deal with Star Wars or Lucasfilm, I guess. And they've had some products previously, some Star Wars themed products come out, but these were super, super cool. So they have these lightsaber collection M.2 SSDs. And I mean, those are super cool. So you actually have like lightsaber design here with the, you know, the lighting on your M.2.
I think when your computer turns on, does the light like follow the, you know, like, you know, when you turn it off, it like shrinks back down. If it doesn't, that's a huge missed opportunity.
Yeah, I do. I know that EK designed this is all EK design.
Okay.
So yeah, I think it's cool. I think if you're a Star Wars fan, this is super cool. I do like it though. I don't know.
And it's interesting to me that we get these Star Wars themed components, because what other games or franchises do we get components for, right? Like, sure, there was like the NZXT Fortnite case.
Those are one-offs too.
But like, what? It's not like there's this huge, I mean, I say not huge. Like, what's the name of the latest Star Wars game, Bob?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I think, well, the thing is that I know that Seagate had signed that licensing deal. I don't know how long it runs for, but I mean, they have to kind of milk that.
Oh, yeah, they got to make some product. And we've seen like the Titan cards, right, that were the Star Wars themed.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen stuff like that. But, oh, Shinny in the chat, he's like, oh, it's Survivor. Of course, you know. I'm just kidding. But it, you know, yeah, Star Wars Jedi Survivor. I don't know. Like, unless you start seeing Star Wars CPU coolers and cases. Like, this is, I put it in my case and it's like, wow, where's the rest of your Star Wars
components? Do you remember the Titan card that was the Star Wars themed?
What did I say? I thought I said Titan cards.
Oh, okay, you just said that, sorry. Yeah, I mean, that would be cool.
Yeah, because they had a Rebel and a Empire one.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing, is that these licensing deals, like, they don't run
long enough to
concurrently, where you could build like an actual really cool theme.
Well, and then it'd be like, okay, you got this Seagate license, and then we've got to have a license with NVIDIA for this, or you know, with Asus to make the GPU.
I think that if you're a Star Wars fan, you like these, and maybe this would sway your decision.
Yeah, maybe,
possibly, but again. Like, with all these motherboards, all the M.2s are kind of designed to fit and, like, look good on the board. So it's like, if you take the M.2 cooler off your current motherboard, it kind of looks weird with another M.2 in the slot.
See? Shinny agrees. It's really weird that there aren't more components at the same time. Yeah, and we've seen, like, external drives. Didn't we see an external SSD or hard drive that looked like a... Beskar steel.
Yeah, block. That was a Seagate product.
Right. So this would be awesome as an external SSD. Like, if you could just, like, you know, throw a cable onto this thing. All right, fine.
Yeah.
But as far as an internal component, it just is weird to me.
Yeah. So, well, check this out again. They're Gen 4, $184.99 for the 1 terabyte, $289.99 for the 2 terabyte. So you can check those out. I also thought this was super cool. I would never buy it, but I thought this was super cool. So Thrustmaster has a ultra premium Ferrari SF1000 direct drive wheel bundle, and this thing,
good lord,
I don't know what any of these buttons do. I guess it's a replica of like what the Ferrari race car wheel looks like, you know. Like, this is an actual screen. I guess all these things do things, like all these buttons and stuff.
I hope.
Yeah, it looks super. And there's like dials over here. Like, I don't know what any of this means. There's lights. There's
paddle shifters. You got
your
rev bar up top. Yeah.
There's all kinds of things. I think there are a lot of people who are like super, super into the racing sim, especially like F1 and all these racing sims. Like, there's people who have like crazy setups just made for this type of thing. This thing is not cheap though. It is $1,100.
That's cheaper than I thought it'd be, to be honest. Is really? It just the wheel, or does it include the like motor and everything?
Let's see. Do they have it's just people talking. I think it's just the wheel.
No, look, it's got the Ferrari.
Yeah, but I think it's just a wheel.
God dang.
Yeah, it's just a wheel. That's what it looks like, though.
Hmm.
Still cool, though.
I'll pass.
I mean, I wouldn't.
Logitech that I spent like $300 on.
Yeah, and I'm sure you would rather buy a graphics card than that, too.
So. I sure would.
Yeah, but that's pretty cool from Thrustmaster. I thought that was... It's good to see like these kind of boutique style stuff kind of come back. We kind of lost that for a little bit. We didn't really see any of these crazy high-end items, and we're seeing a lot of this stuff now. We saw a lot of it at CES.
That does include the motor for your like steering and everything and your feedback. Okay. It does include that. Yep, because they're saying on the website angular acceleration, like, yeah, the everything for that, force feedback, all that kind of stuff.
Nice. Well, wait for you to get it and you
I'll let you know.
Also, we got good news, and Ryan and I were talking about this. QuakeCon is coming back to in person. So August 10th through 13th in Texas. Ryan is considering going. I might go as well. We'll see.
I'm not going if you don't go. So
whoa.
I'm not going by myself.
Why? You're like, all right, guys.
No, not going by myself.
Yeah, so QuakeCon, it's good to see it come back. We've seen a lot of these, like PAX and all the other shows kind of come back, especially if they didn't come back last year, they're coming back this year. It's good to see. In-person gaming events are always so much fun. And you just want to, especially like this is more focused as like a LAN party, and it's always cool to meet people, talk about your builds, all that. Like the BYOC is like, I've had some of the funnest times in like BYOCs and
like the balls towers and pizza box towers, and you know, like 3 a.m. whoops going on, and then it just like the whole room, you know, just gets louder and louder. Yeah.
So that'll be pretty cool. I think normal registration opens on the 21st. Yep. And it's only going to be ticketed only. Like, it's not going to be like an open event like they've had in the past. Like I said, check it out if you're interested in that. And then one game that I saw that I think looked like so much fun was Warhammer 40K Bolt Gun. Trailer for this came out, and it comes out on May 23rd. And I'll just like play the trailer. Let's see if I can make this big, but it's like sort of looks like a Doom shooter, but like in the, or like a Quake shooter, but in the,
definitely looks like Quake,
Warhammer 40K kind of thing. It looks like a lot of fun.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. It would be kind of just like a cool shoot 'em up game. Again, comes out May 23rd. I thought it was pretty cool. It is like the whatever anniversary of Warhammer, 40th anniversary of Warhammer. Man.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a cool game. Like I said, it comes out on the 23rd. I might get it just to kind of mess around in there. I like fast paced shooter games that I don't, it's one of those games you just like turn on and you don't have to think about it. You know?
Oh yeah. Like in those, I'm just like holding down fire, just like running and gunning.
Yeah, and as Shinny says, it has the old school feel. Yeah, that's what I kind of like. I said those games are a lot of fun. So, but that is news for the week. Talking about what we have coming up next week, Ryan is taking a look at a keyboard that he's been testing for about almost the past couple weeks now.
Yep.
This is the Drop Lord of the Rings Black Speech. So I took a look at the Elvish one. This one is the Black Speech, which has. What do you think of like the design of the color design and all that?
It looks amazing. It looks great. I have no complaints or like qualms about how it looks. The keycap profile is, you know, I'll leave that up to my review. But no, this thing's solid, looks good. I like, you know, the Eye of Sauron there, above the arrow keys.
Yeah.
It's great. I like this thing. Definitely a cool showpiece, especially if you're a big Lord of the Rings fan. Like
it is like we talk about these licensing deals, you know. Mm-hmm. This is gonna be the third Lord of the Rings keyboard from Drop because they have that licensing deal. So and they also will be selling the keycap sets too. So if you don't like their specific keyboard, or you have a keyboard and you want to get like, if you're a huge Lord of the Rings fan, whatever this language is called, I forget.
Black Speech.
Yeah. But yeah, like, you know, you can just buy the keycap sets, or even certain keycaps you can just buy too. So they have all that kind of
got the actual letters on there because.
Every
now and then you got to look down and you're like, I don't know what.
Well, the thing is that you're so used to the large legend being like the actual letter.
Right.
And it's so hard. Like when I was testing
the
tiny little letter is so hard to see. But yeah, Ryan will have that one next week. And then I'm taking a look at a pretty crazy PC from MSI. If the page would ever load here. I don't know why it's taking so long to load. But it is a pre-built PC from MSI. So we've seen this over the past couple years. What?
Is that cool?
Oh, yeah. So we've seen this over the past couple years. It's like the motherboard manufacturers and some other companies are making like pre-built PCs because, you know, PC gaming has gotten extremely popular and people just want a PC. They, you know, and again, for the longest time, you had like the Alienware and then the Dell or like the whatever, like you didn't have a whole lot of options when it came to like a pre-built, like a pretty nice pre-built PC. And for some reason, this still isn't loading. It's loading on Ryan's screen, but this is the Meg Trident X2, comes with a 4090, 13900K. I mean, this thing is loaded out, liquid cooled, and it has a touchscreen on the front, which is really cool. Yeah, so it's just
the screen is touchscreen. That's cool.
Yeah, so it's like this pre-built that looks really cool. It's not all that big either. And like I said, it's made to look cool on your desk. So I'll be putting that through the ranks of a bunch of different games, benchmarks, all that kind of stuff to see if it's a good PC or one that you might be considering. I think the one that we have spec'd out is like $4,500. So it's
okay.
It's expensive, but again, it's the best of the best, right? I believe, like I said, it has a 4090. It has a 13900K. It has 64 gigabytes of DDR5. Like it's spec'd out. So yeah, that's what we have coming up next week. Old man in the chat says Dying Light Enhanced Edition is free on Epic tomorrow till 10 a.m. He said it's a great game and includes all the best DLC in the main game. Nice.
And shout out to Old Man also. He's been watching my comic book YouTube videos and
I was thinking
interacting with me a lot, so I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's funny to say, but I was thinking about Old Man today because I was like, the past couple of weeks he hasn't been in the live stream. So I was like, yeah. So I was just wondering, but it's good to see you here, Old Man. He's usually one of our regulars each week, so it's good to see you here. But yeah, that is going to be it. Of course, at the end of the podcast, we talk about games. We talk about if we did anything tech related. Have you done anything tech related?
No, just gotten in these review products in the last couple of days. I got two of them, I think, this week, and then just wrapping up this keyboard. So,
I don't think I have either. Just graphics card testing. Just like,
I forget. Were you getting the other, Hollyland?
I am. Yeah, I have it.
So I was talking to Shinny about that. He was, asked if I had bought one, and I said, yeah, I bought this one. And then, they reached out to Bob about it. So he was thinking about getting, I think, the phone-based one that you had previously reviewed.
Okay,
so
yeah. Kind
of talking about that.
Yeah, yeah, no, I did get that one. It's, we'll have a review for that coming up. So yeah. Cool. So yeah, lots of stuff, lots of reviews. So, but we are going to and the podcast stream. And of course, since we're streaming this to Twitch, the stream will go down and then the stream will come back up. Mm-hmm. Cause Ryan will be hosting that stream. That is our gaming stream. Again, we do that every week after the podcast. So again, if you're not on Twitch, it is just twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. You can go over there, watch us game. We're playing Apex Legends. We play with our homie Shinny. He'll be in there as well. And yeah, guys, that is it for the week. We appreciate everybody coming out for the podcast, and we will see everybody next week.